I jump into Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. Lord, you are not dead. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Pray that you'd move in our lives and in our hearts. Again, Lord, we ask you'd forgive us for our sins. Forgive us, Father. I continue to ask for your protection upon us and this church. Lift this nation to you, those serving. Lord, pray you would open your word and pray you would speak. I pray you'd help us to rightly divide it and keep it in context. And I pray that we would allow you to use it to change us and to grow us and to mold us. And pray you'd be glorified. Help us to be more the church you call us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So, have you ever been in one of those places where you realize how small you are and you wonder if you're going to be able to make much of a difference in a crazy, messed up world? Anybody ever felt that way? I grew up in the great metropolis of North Liberty. So the first time I remember my oldest brother, he went to MIT out in Boston, and I remember going out with my mom and dad out to Boston and going into Boston. And I don't know if you've ever been to Boston, but it's slightly different than North Liberty, Ohio. Going into when we took the youth to DC or to New York, or going into Chicago, and just masses of people, and you kind of wonder sometimes if we can make a difference. Jesus teaches about how something started small and it grew to make a huge difference. And that's what we're going to talk today. We're going to talk about the kingdom of God, but I believe that affects us personally. And he can use us to do amazing things too. If you have your Bibles, we're in Luke chapter 13, just going 18 through 21. So that'll make some of you happy. It's short, short section. Jesus stirs them to think. He gets the thought processes working by asking them two questions. He starts with two questions to get them to start thinking about the kingdom of God. Then Jesus asks, "What is the kingdom of God like? And what shall I compare it to?" What is it like? So if you were at his feet, if you were sitting at his feet, and you said, And he said, "What is the kingdom of God like?" What's your response? I mean, would you know what to say? I don't know that I would know what to say. I'd be like, help me out, right? What is the kingdom of God like? And then he goes on, he says, "What should I compare it to?" He wants to teach them. He wants them to know. I don't know if you see this in his teaching. He doesn't want people to be ignorant. He wants them to get it. He wants people to understand a lot of this. He wants them to grasp it. That's why he's using stuff that they can understand. He uses a mustard seed. That's something they can grasp. It is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches. They used a mustard seed in that day, like we use, oak trees and acorns. That was gone for a second. You know how we talk about like an acorn's really small and then you plant it and it grows into be this big oak tree, right? You've used that illustration. They use the same thing with mustard seeds. If you know anything about a mustard seed is really, really tiny, like 1 millimeter in size. So if I had it on the tip of my finger, it'd be like a small, broken, small piece of pencil lead. It's teeny, teeny, teeny. Right? So he's saying the kingdom of God is going to be like that. It's going to start really small. So he uses the word. He said that a man took a mustard seed. The word "took" here is very deliberate. It's taken with a reason. It's taken with purpose. It's taken with thought. It didn't happen by chance. It didn't happen by accident. It's not random. He took this seed on purpose and he planted it in the garden. When he plants it in the garden is the world. He's planting his kingdom in the world. And it's going to start small like a mustard seed. Teeny. They're teeny. But then it's going to grow to be like a tree. If you know anything about a mustard plant, they say that a person on a horse can ride up and find shade in a mustard tree, a mustard plant. They get that big. You could be on top of a horse and be in the shade by one of these plants. They can be anywhere from 6 to 20 feet tall. If it's a happy little plant and it likes where it's at, it can actually get up to 30 feet tall with a 20-foot spread. That's huge. And it starts from this teeny little thing. So what he's saying is God is going to start his kingdom in the world, and it's going to start really, really small, and it's going to grow huge. Because it started as this teeny, teeny little grain size seed, and it's going to affect the whole garden. Right? He says, it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air perched in its branches. A lot of people are going to find shelter in it. A lot of people are going to find refuge inside of Christendom, Christianity. In fact, I mentioned last night, and I'll say it this morning, I don't believe it's only Christians that find safety inside of Christianity. There's also non-Christians, and you'd be like, what are you talking about? That's psychotic. Listen, we as Christians definitely find refuge inside the branches of Him. Amen? But we also help non-Christians. And you're like, what are you talking about? How many hospitals were started as Christian hospitals? How many orphanages were started as Christian orphanages? How many universities were started as Christian universities? Brian and I were talking about where they treat lepers, and it goes on and on and on. All those people that they're helping might not all be Christians, but they're finding safety inside of the branches. Does that make sense? He said he's going to start the kingdom, and it's going to be really small, but it's going to grow and change the world, and tons of people are going to find safety and peace inside of it. He goes on. He says, again, he asks, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast. It's like leaven. Leaven, like yeast. That a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. It's like yeast that she took and she mixed. The mixing part takes effort. For it to work through the whole dough takes effort. It needs to spread out, and it needs to be worked in. Did the kingdom spread? Absolutely it did. If you step back and look at it, it started with one man, Jesus Christ, who is God. He taught 12, 11 got it, one had issues. In the beginning of Acts, you can see that we were up to 120 at Pentecost. We had the 120, Holy Spirit comes down, Peter preaches, and about how many were added to their number? 3,000 were added to their number that day, right? It's a good sermon. From there, what happened was persecution hit. And persecution, what the enemy was trying to use to destroy the church, spread the church. You with me? Because as soon as he persecuted it, it drove them out, and it drove them out to the world, and it spread the church, and it spread from there, like the yeast. Yeast, if you know anything about, I'm not the great bread maker. I know Son makes a lot of bread and dough, and it's wonderful stuff, thank you. But it does some amazing things to it. It's what makes it soft. Without leaven, without yeast, it's hard. It's very hard. They should be putting a sign up of the size of a mustard seed just so you could see it, maybe. The yeast makes it soft. It also makes it moist. It makes it porous. And it makes it more satisfying, more nourishing for us. Just like the gospel changes, it softens hearts. It makes our hearts so it's not this dry, barren wasteland. in the kingdom of God, the gospel, Jesus Christ, is what satisfies you, what nourishes your life, what makes it whole, what makes it complete. Leaven also works gradually, step by step, and piece by piece. It's very consistent. It changes the quality of the dough and works through the whole thing. And I believe that Christianity works person by person, ministry spread one by one, heart to heart. It's spread gradually throughout. Yes, he can hit big revivals, but it's one person at a time that gets saved. One person at a time that gets saved. It changes the quality of the world, the quality of that person's life, and the quality of the world. And I'm not saying one of you accept Jesus when I say the quality of that person's life. I'm not saying it's easier or that you'll never get sick or you'll never be hurt, but it changes your life. You're a new creation. You can have joy in a fallen world. So, did this take place? I mean, what does this have to do with us? It's tiny, isn't it? That little mustard seed. What does it have to do with us? Did it start small, like that little mustard seed? Yes, it did. Again, it started with Jesus, and it spread out from there. How big did the tree get? In 2015, they estimated that there were 2.3 billion Christians. 2.3 billion. It's the largest religion in the world. Christianity is. Now, out of the 2.3 billion, how many of them have actually accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior? I don't know. I don't know anybody else's heart. I can't make that statement. I hope all 2.3 billion. Again, I don't know how many of them truly know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but 2.3 people would associate as a Christian. At that time, they said that was roughly almost one-third of the population. Close to. Now, are the statistics accurate? How do you get a... I don't know all that, but I can say this. The tree grew from one person to billions. Billions. It grew big, but it's not done growing. Because if let's say two-thirds of the people are saved, which I think that's probably a high estimate. I mean, if one-third of the people are saved, which again, I think that's high. I don't think a third of the population saved. If one-third of the population saved, that means two-thirds of the population's unsaved. My point is that the kingdom's not done growing. The work is not done. So he started it, but it was supposed to continue to grow. We're supposed to continue to reach out. It's continuing to grow. And I believe the mustard seed, the tree is still growing. The yeast is still working out. And we're part of that. We're part of that ministry. We're part of that tree. We're part of that growth. And you're like, but Pastor, I have no desire to stand up and preach. And I have no desire to go to India or China or North Korea. I believe we're called to do what God calls you to do where He calls you, right? So you do ministry where He calls you. And if He calls you to China, you go to China. If He calls you to North Korea, pray for you. He'll take care of you in North Korea because He's God. If He calls you to Butler, Ohio, Belleville, Ohio, Danville, Ohio, Lexington, Ohio. I was going to be funny and say we'll really pray for you, but just teasing. I love Lexington too, unless we're playing them in sports. I believe it starts in your life. You know what? There's a ton of people that don't know Jesus right here. And how does it start? I mean, what do you do? I believe it starts in your life. I believe that after you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, after you know Him as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and He starts to change you. You're not who you were. You're different. And people see that you're different. You don't have to pound them over their head with the Bible. They can tell that you're different than who you were by how you act. Now, if you act the same as you've always have, that's a little scarier. Because we're supposed to be different. Right? Now, Again, we don't get there by works. We get there by grace. But if we have truly accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He says, we make you a new creation. So He should be chipping away at the old and turning you new. So again, it's not by works, but people should see that there's something different about you. I think about where, the author that wrote More Than a Carpenter. What's his name? Josh McDowell. Thank you. He was gone again. Where he said, he was at the college campus, and he said he kept running into these people that were annoyingly happy. They were the Christians. I paraphrase that. That might not have been his exact words, but that's how it sticks in my head. They were different because they had joy even in a fallen world. And so I believe that after you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and as He's working on you piece by piece and step by step, we look different than the rest of the world because we can have joy and peace. We can have the fruit of the Spirit in a messed up place, and they can see you different. And people start to ask questions, and we can start to say, hey man, I am a fallen sinner just like everybody else, but praise God for grace. Let me tell you about grace. Let me tell you about forgiveness because I need it. Not, hey, I'm holier than now. Let me come follow me. I know all the answers. Maybe it's, hey, I'm a fallen sinner. Let me point you to the Savior. And He opens up doors and we can talk. And I believe that if we can impact one life, maybe as you plant seeds in your children and seeds in your loved ones and in your family and those around you and in the wheelhouse of the people that you deal with day in and day out, you can change and make a huge difference. One person at a time. If Jesus can change the world with 11 disciples who had their own issues, what can He do with this many people? If we would all just reach the people in the wheelhouse around us and reach out to them, what would the difference be in our community? My point is, I do not believe that the kingdom's done growing. And I believe we are called to go and make disciples, church. Father God, I thank You. I thank You how You work and how You can use even a messed up, fallen sinner like me. How You can even use a messed up, fallen sinner like me, Lord, I thank You. You were good all of the time. I pray You would use us, this church family, in a powerful way. I pray that people see You and see Your love and see the fruit of Your Spirit and the gifts that You pour out. And I pray they'd see You. Because the world doesn't need more of us. They need more of You. So I pray, Lord, that You would use us in a powerful way. Send us out into the community, into the mission field. And I pray it'd be all for Your glory. In Jesus' name, all God's people said. Please stand and turn to page 254.